My name is Michelle O'Roo and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 11th of August 2009. The time is now just coming up to 2:10 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
Yeah, my name's Kirsty Phillips. I'm aged 35 and I come from Farringdon, Oxfordshire.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good, thank you for asking. Did you come in from Oxfordshire last night? Or?
Last night, yes, because it's now the morning.
Can you remember how you first heard about the project?
Yes, my mum emailed me, of all people, and she said, I'm going to do this and I want to do this. She wanted to do crocheting on the plinth, and I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. I think I'll have a go myself.
What was it that made you want to take part, though, do you think?
I think it's because it's a fun way of leaving a legacy of some kind, to do a project like this. It's something a bit unusual.
Has your mum got a place yet?
No. She's very angry with me.
Where does she live?
She lives in Tame, in Oxfordshire.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when they told you you did have a place?
I was bemused because I didn't really think that it would happen. Because I presume there'd be so many applying that the statistical chance of becoming a person on there was very, very small. A little nervous, a little excited.
What are you nervous about? Anything in particular?
I'm a bit nervous of heights. I'm nervous of somebody coming out of a club a little bit too drunk and start throwing things. But other than that, I know there's nothing to worry about, really. It's all in my head.
Can you tell me what you're wearing, please?
Yeah, I'm wearing a t-shirt saying k9x.co.uk. They're an organisation which organises races that you can run with your dogs.
Tell me a bit more about that.
The idea is, it's not dissimilar to dog sleighing. If you think of the equipment for dog sleighing, you have a harness attached to your dog, and then you have a waist harness attached to the human being, and between the two harnesses there's a bungee lead. So the idea is that your dog runs in front, and you follow him behind. And the idea is you run with your dog and you do timed races against other competitors. And the dog can be any breed. It doesn't have to be a husky. We've had chihuahuas to large Irish wolfhounds and a huge amount of gun dogs. My dog's a Labrador, so any kind of dog can do it. And I wanted to promote that because I don't think enough people are aware. I see plenty of people running with their dogs, but they're not aware that they can actually enter races with their dogs.
And whereabouts is this organisation based?
This one's based in Cheltenham and they do races all over the UK.
How did you first hear about them?
I actually went on a website that was promoting healthy lifestyles, and I just recently purchased a little puppy and found out I could race with him, so I thought, oh, I've got to look into this. So I thought it'd be a good way for me and my dog to exercise.
How does the dog react?
Oh, he loves it. He absolutely adores it because you can go anywhere, and he loves getting outside in the outdoors. You can take the dog without worrying it running off because you're running with the dog. So he loves it, especially when it's out in the countryside.
So whereabouts do the races that you attend take place?
A lot take part in the Forestry Commission places, a lot there, and national parks. And it's all cross country, so the dogs love it. There's one, the main race is at Cheltenham Racecourse, but they're all over the place, but tend to be, you know, the great outdoors rather than built up areas. But you can run your dog on a harness on the road, that's fine as well.
How many people take part in these races?
Anywhere between 50 and 100. So it's kind of a niche sport at the moment.
And how do you train for it?
You just go out as you would in a race with your harness. It's best to run with your harness so the dog knows what to expect at a race and you know what to expect. Though my dog tends to run behind me and only runs when he's in a race and frightens the life out of me because he can go so fast. But no, it's best to train with your dog, you know, you've got to get fit. It's same principle as normal running, really.
So it's a bit of car noise in the background, sorry about that. How would you describe yourself as a person?
I would say eccentric. I'm a scientist, so I'd say scientific. A bit dippy at times. I can't think of anything else at the moment.
So just picking up on that, you're a scientist. What kind of work are you doing at the moment?
I work in a laboratory as an analyst. It involves testing compounds for their purity and their identity, and using various techniques to discover what they are, to make sure that the right thing is being produced of the right quality.
And how long have you been doing this particular role?
8 years.
What do you particularly like about it?
I like seeing results, and that's what you get with this job. You do get the results. So I like seeing results. I like doing something and seeing it to an end.
You mentioned that you're an eccentric person.
Well, everyone who comes from Farringdon has to be eccentric.
Why is that?
Well, we had the famous Lord Burns. Or was it? It's not Burns. Anyway, he built the Folly. Don't know the exact name, can look that up later, but he built this Folly on the top of the hill. He decided that there was going to be a Folly, so that's the first thing he used to do. He used to colour his pigeons pink and blue so he could see them better. So he used to dye them with food colouring dyes, you know, perfectly, not nasty dyes, you know, stuff. So, and we still see some of these pigeons coming about that are pink and blue all around the town. And he sort of brings the eccentric people out. He's not alive anymore, but used to be an artist. He wrote books. He composed music. He's been featured on Radio 3 as composing music. So he was a kind of mad lord, and I think the town has still kept that madness about it.
That's something you like about the
town. Yeah. So I'd say I do refer myself to as a Farringdanian.
Is that a common term that people use?
I think it's a made up word by myself.
How else does your eccentricity manifest itself, do you think?
Other than my sport, it's hard to say. I mean, they say most scientists are eccentric because we're an odd bunch. We're definitely an odd bunch. You always see the people in the companies, you know, you think they're the weird part in a sitcom, you know. They tend to be the odd bunch because, you know, they've had their minds in books and philosophising and things like that, so they're always an odd bunch like that. And I just think it's you know, I suppose I'd say the Farringdon thing is you can just be who you are. You don't have to conform to any kind of set way of dressing, set way. You can just be who you are, and if you want to wear a silly hat with silly shoes that don't match, you can. So it manifests itself, I suppose, in areas like that.
How long have you lived there?
4 years.
Where were you before that?
I was on the other side of Oxfordshire in Tame.
And have you come with anybody else today?
I have come with my other half, Mark. And my father and mother are actually turning up. I can't believe they're turning up at these early hours in the day, but they
are. Where are they coming from?
They're coming from Tame in Oxfordshire as well.
What's been your family's reaction to your taking part in this project?
I think my father has been unbelievably excited and been telling everyone. My other half, Mark's been a bit bemused. My mum is unhappy with me because she wants... Not in a nasty sense, you know,
in a funny sense, unhappy because she was the one who wanted to be on there.
What else is important in your life, would you say?
Definitely George, my Labrador, who I go running with. He's man's best friend and he's my best friend. You know, having the companionship. He's got a lot of character as well, so he knows when he's being naughty.
Have you always had dogs?
No, my grandmother has, but not myself.
Why did you decide to get a puppy?
Well, that's another story. I went out walking with Mark. I decided to go out for a run, and I got ahead of him, and then this dog came up to me, and this bloke saw me and he said, "Do you want to come inside and see my puppies?" I know I was told by my mother never to talk to strangers, but I said okay then, and I went inside and he did have puppies. And then the next thing, I was coming back home and saying, "Mark, should we go and get a puppy?" So it was literally the next farm from Farringdon, and he had two puppies left, and I got the second from last puppy. He wasn't much of a puppy though, because he was about already two, at 13 weeks he was already 2 foot. With very, very big paws.
Were you aware of Anthony Gormley's work before you heard about this project?
Yes, I was. I was aware of the Angel of the North, not anything else actually. Which surprises me. He's done quite a lot from what I've heard from recently, but he doesn't seem to get in the news as much as some other analysts, artists like Chapman and you know, Tracy Enham and I've forgotten her name, the one who does the big house with
Rachel Weisz.
I'm surprised that, you know, everyone talks about the Angel of the North, but doesn't tend to talk about any of his other work, which probably is a shame, but I'm guessing they're talking about it now.
Do you think you would have taken part if it wasn't a project of his?
I think I would have done, yeah. I think the idea is fantastic. The actual idea is fantastic. I mean, he said that it's a snapshot of what is in the UK at the moment, and I think some of the press and some of the people have taken it the wrong way. It's a snapshot, so whoever those people are, they're all representing a certain part of them and a snapshot of what the UK is, you know, the UK is at this point in time. And it's a brilliant idea because you're collecting all this data and, you know, it's like a time capsule, and you will see that and it'll be interesting. You can take back with it. Everybody's into, you know, doing family trees and who do you think you are. And this is just another way of putting that into, you know, into the archives and finding out how people were and how people live, because we think we do know how people live now, but in 50 years time, in 100 years time, in 200 years time, that will be forgotten and it can be re-looked at. And it's just normal people. It's normal people who are like me, a bit nervous, who don't personally always put themselves in the public eye. So in that respect, it's interesting as well. Because it's not just, you know, the kind of people who want the publicity, who go in Big Brother. It's a different type of people. It's, you know, it's who have been encouraged to come on here for different reasons, and I like the ideas that are coming through. Some people are, you know, coming up with political ideas, you know, emphasising them, and it will show what were the concerns of the times. You know, people call this as an art project. It's also a history project, really, as well. And, you know, people come up with their interests, what interests there. There was one guy camping. And then some people are just taking the fun, which I think the British are brilliant at, you know, making the fun out of a situation, not taking it seriously. And if you don't take it too seriously, I think you're getting the idea of what the project's all about. And I think from what little I've read, that's what I feel it's about, and I'm sure that's what the artist was looking about, because I'm sure artists are just not interested in art. They can't be, because they have to look at history, they have to look what's going on around them, they have to see what's going wrong and reflect that, and this is an element of that.
You brought along something else with you that you're going to take up on the plinth. Can you tell me more about that?
I brought a trampoline to, it was the best way of demonstrating running on the spot. And I bought a, what is an invisible dog lead with a dog to try and emphasise, so I don't know if the point will come across about not just running, it, the idea is running with dogs, which I think is going to be the UK's next biggest sport.
Were you much of a runner before you discovered the running with dogs?
I'm always a fun runner and I'm always at the back of the back of the line. But that's what's great about this sport. You can be an athlete and compete with all the athletes, and you can just be a fun runner. And there's two, there's definitely the two types at the races. So that's good.
Sorry. What kind of events have you taken part in before?
Events in
running.
I've just done 10Ks here and there on my own, which I still do in the summer because it's too hot to run with dogs for the summer.
Do you think they miss it?
I think they do. But then they struggle in the hot weather. Yeah, I think they do, though.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Thank you very much, Shana.